today, we'll have a first-timer report for an October trip. That's coming up on this, episode 137 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 137. I told you the first-timer reports were coming back on a regular basis, and today I have one from Rebecca, who just got back from a week-long trip the last part of October, so it's very fresh. And so you'll get some recent information, and that'll be coming up in just a second. As always, a reminder to follow on social media. If you would like your not-so-nice social media feed to be broken up by Disney stuff, then feel free to follow. Every time I post, I think, well, this is going to be a good interruption in between all of the nasty political stuff right now. But you can follow. Just look up WDW Prep School on any platform, and you will likely find me there. So I'm going to go ahead and dive into Rebecca's trip report. As usual, you will hear from her just before her trip and just after to see how it went. And then afterwards, I will have a quick tip of the day. So here's Rebecca. Welcome to the podcast, Rebecca.
Wow. Thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting.
So I recently put out a call for first timers who wanted to be on the podcast so that we could have one every month. And you called in for your October trip, which you're getting ready to go on.
Yes.
So today, as we are talking, it is October 17th. And what are your trip dates?
I am leaving this Friday, October 21st, and then coming back the following Friday, the 28th.
Okay, so we are just a few days before your trip, so I'm sure you're in like the final stages of all your plans, and so I can't wait to kind of dive into what those are. How did you choose this week to go to Disney World?
I've been begging my husband to go to Disney for a while, and he hasn't really wanted to go. So he, when we finally talked about him wanting to go, he really wanted to go during Food and Wine. So for us, that's pretty much September or October, and September didn't work for our schedule, so we picked October, and we basically looked at crowd calendars, and this week that we've picked seems to be a lower crowd week, so that's what we're hoping for.
Yes, I'm hoping that for you as well. It shouldn't be too bad. There are definitely, the earlier part of October is a lot busier, usually, because of fall breaks, but hopefully you won't get any of that during your trip. So you mentioned your husband. So can you describe who's going on the trip?
Yeah. So my husband and I are going, and we're bringing our son, who will be just shy of two, when we bring him, Logan. And then my mother's coming with us. So it will be the four of us.
Where are you staying on this trip with the four of you?
We are staying at the Art of Animation.
What kind of room are you staying in?
One of the Cars suites.
Oh, that's so much fun. That area, yes. I just could walk around there for hours. I love it so much. So with all the different beds, your mom's going to have her own bed, then you'll have your own bed and your son. So is that why you chose it? So everybody will have their own space?
Yeah. When we were looking at the different prices, at the different prices of the different hotels and stuff, I wanted to stay at a moderate, and I was looking at all of them, and then someone had said, you know, just check out Art of Animation. I know it's a value, but the suites are really great. And the suite at the Art of Animation was just a little bit more than Port Orleans, and for us, I would have rather spend the money to have two bathrooms and separate rooms. So that's kind of why we picked it.
Yeah. And I mean, I totally love that, because moderates will give you smaller space in the room. So I think you'll be happier with that, to have an extra bathroom, extra sleeping area, a door that you can close at night to your bedroom. Yeah. As much as I like some of the moderates, I think you're going to like Art of Animation. Hopefully. We'll find out when you get back, won't we?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're staying. And did you choose the car section because your son's interested in that? Or
we that? Actually chose the car section because that was the only one available for the discount that we wanted. I think it was either 30% off or 20% off, and we booked it 7 months in advance, mm-hmm. but the Lion King was sold out, and I forget what the other one was.
Finding Nemo.
And Finding Nemo wasn't available for the promotion because of Finding Dory just coming out. Mm-hmm. They said that really books up, so we were with Cars, so hopefully we like it.
Okay. Well, I think you will. It's a very well-themed area. So, all right. So we've got your dates, and we know where you're staying. After you made those decisions, then how did you go about the business of planning what you were going to do each day of your trip?
So, how we're doing our trip is we've asked my mother to kind of come along with us so that she can help with my son because, you know, he's a toddler. He normally goes to bed at 7. So staying up late isn't, you know, something that we'll be able to do without temper tantrums. So we, our days are going to be focused on doing things with Logan. And then our nights are going to kind of be focused on doing adult things. So with that being said, we're doing 3 days Magic Kingdom, 1 Animal Kingdom, 1 Epcot, and 1 Hollywood Studios.
Okay. And then what kind of evening activities are you planning for just the two of you?
We have a reservation at Le Cellier one night, and then the other nights we plan on going to the Food and Wine Festival, going down to Disney Springs, and we don't have a lot of concrete concrete plans because mm-hmm. my husband's more of a beach and a relaxing type of vacationer, so I'm trying not to, you know, trying it to be more relaxed for him.
Yeah, it's probably not a bad idea. I was just curious what kind of ideas you had for your adults only evenings, but like Food and Wine and Disney Springs are great options. So, after making your daily plan, which you've kind of done by saying, you know, how many days you're going to the parks, usually you can pick your park tickets, but I'm going to guess you have park hoppers because you want flexibility to do whatever you want in the evening.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I figured you would say. okay. So after you decided kind of where you were going to be each day of your trip, then where did you make reservations to eat at those places?
We don't have a whole ton of, reservations for eating. However, on one of the days, we have a Garden Grill reservation where it's at 8 a.m. before the park opens.
Mm-hmm.
And then another day, we're going to do a 10:40 Tusker House breakfast lunch reservation. We also had an 8 a.m. reservation one day at 1900 Park Fair.
Uh-huh.
Am I saying
that? Yes.
And actually, on that day, I had booked an 8 a.m. 1900 Park Fair, and I had also booked a 10:30 Be Our Guest reservation because one of your recommendations, especially, you know, maybe during October or always, is that if you're going to book an early reservation in the morning, make sure you have a second one in case the park hours change,
mm-hmm.
and our park hours change that day. So we canceled the 1900 Park Fair, and we're going to go to that later 10:30 reservation.
Yeah, and that's so smart. And so just to kind of expand on what Rebecca just said, the problem with pre-park opening reservations, especially at Magic Kingdom and sometimes at the other parks, not so much Epcot, but the other parks can have it sometimes as well, is that Disney will change the opening time from 9 to 8. So then you think you're being clever and you're getting in the park at 8 to have your dining reservation, but now the park actually opens at 8. And so what you find yourself in is a position where you're eating the first hour the park's open, which is not ideal. So my suggestion is to make two reservations, and one of those being at 8, if you can get it, and then another one later, which is around, did you say around 10:30 or something like that?
Yeah, it's at 10:30.
Yeah. So as you get closer to your dates, if Disney happens to change them, then you have some flexibility to adjust according to what the actual hours are instead of what Disney told you they would be 6 months in advance. So smart idea.
Yes. And then the only other reservation we have besides the La Cellier, which I had said, is we have a dinner reservation one night at, I can't think of the name, but the hibachi place.
Teppanito.
Yes, because with our son, who's a toddler, he's not very good at, you know, sitting down and waiting for the food. So we found that buffets and hibachis mm-hmm. work best with him because it's entertaining. You know, there's not long waiting for the food, and hibachi is entertaining him while we're waiting for our food.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really smart. We actually started the same exact thing when our son was little. And buffets also have movement. So if your child is moving around, it doesn't seem so out of place because people are getting up and down all the time to get their food.
Right.
So
right.
It's a good place for a toddler. So I hope you like all of those reservations that you chose. Those are all favorites of mine personally. So we'll have to see what you think of them. Okay, so after you're dying, then we have park touring, and I'm curious to hear just kind of generally how you approach this, especially considering that your husband likes a more loosely planned trip.
Yes. So, how I planned it was I basically did, do you want me to say what fast passes I have or?
If you could just talk generally about how you plan to do it. Like my suggestion is okay. to just plan the first 3 hours of the day and then sort of be flexible. You know, is that your approach or did you want to do something else? And then I do want to hear how the FastPass reservation process went.
Okay. Yeah. So we have the mindset going in, and I've already prepared my mother and husband that when we go to the park, the first 2 hours are kind of, you know, this is the rides we're going to go on. This is our plan. And then anything beyond that is kind of, you know,
bonus.
How is Logan doing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Bonus. How is Logan doing? Is someone going to go back with him? And we'll see how it goes.
So you're going in, and I think I've heard this a lot with people with little ones, especially, that it's sort of like these are our must do's and everything else is just a nice to have. And that way your expectations aren't super high. Which I think is smart. I did not have that approach when I had toddlers, so it was a bit more stressful, I think, for us. But I think that you don't set yourself up for disappointment if things don't go the way you wanted to that way.
Exactly.
So you'll be nicely surprised if you get more done.
Hopefully.
Yeah, which I think you will. But, you know, you won't be disappointed either way, it sounds like. So how did the FastPass reservation process go for you?
It was a little bit nerve-wracking because I've no one in my family, and I've been doing all the planning for this, has been to Disney and in about 15 years. So, and even when I went 15 years ago, my mom didn't do any planning. We just mm-hmm, went. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there wasn't any thought process behind what we did. And so I, you know, listened to every podcast and I looked at the touring plans and everything, and I had everything written down. But you have to be prepared that 9 o'clock, you know, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train isn't going to be there necessarily. And you kind of have to adjust and go with the moment. So it went pretty good. I got all of the fast passes that I think are important. But it didn't go as smoothly as I had hoped because just one ride's off 5 minutes, and then the next ride has to be off, and then switching rides. And then the other thing I messed up on when doing it was I forgot to look at ride closures. Mm-hmm. And I know you have said that in a podcast, but I forgot. And I went to go book my Big Thunder Mountain Fast Pass, and that's closed right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, now what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. So, and then the other thing that I did after listening to your rider switch advice is on some days we actually have 4 fast passes as a group, mm-hmm. because we have 2 adults on 3 roller coasters, and we'll get rider switch for those. And then on a 4th ride, we have a fast pass for all of us in Magic Kingdom.
Right. Yep. That's smart.
So that was a lot of coordinating too. Okay, Greg and I are on this ride, and then my mom and Greg are on that ride. And but it ended up getting us, you know, an extra fast pass. So
yeah. Yeah, that's smart. And I know it's a lot to have a handle on when you have never planned a trip before. But once you get there, I think you'll find it to make sense. And, you know, when I planned my first trip, none of this stuff existed. There was no online booking, and it was a lot. It was overwhelming even then. And so I can't imagine now coming to all of this as a first timer. There's so much to learn. And I think that you were nervous about the fast pass booking, you know, process and all that. And I think the thing to remember is, first of all, you're not alone. There's a lot of people that feel that way. But second of all, the only things that are super, super difficult to get are Frozen Ever After and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So just, you know, focus on those as soon as your window opens. And then everything else is usually pretty easy to adjust. So even if you don't get them all and know exactly what you're doing as soon as they open up, you can go back and edit and switch things around usually, depending on when you're going and how many people are in your group, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, yes. don't stress out too much, but I do understand that a couple of them are more challenging than others.
Yeah.
Okay. So that covers kind of your general approach to park touring. What extra sort of things have you added to your trip to personalize it for your group?
We have relatives nearby. So one day we have planned to just meet them at Disney Springs. And then on our last day there, we're going to the Halloween party.
Oh, that's fun. Okay, so are all 4 of you going to the Halloween party?
Yes. So what we're doing on that day is we don't have any park tickets. We don't plan on going to the park. We're just going to rest and, you know, rest up, and then we'll all be going to the Halloween party.
Are you all dressing up?
Sort of. We're like, themed t-shirt dressing up. My son is going to dress up like a little prince, but it's like a prince t-shirt. You know, it's not a full costume.
Yeah. So that kind of summarizes what your plans are. I have a couple of random thoughts or questions. One is, are you flying or driving?
We are flying.
You're flying. And then are you using Magical Express?
Yes.
Okay. So flying with Magical Express. Do you have the Disney dining plan?
We do not.
Okay, so that's out of pocket. And are you getting Memory Maker?
Yes.
Okay, so Memory Maker. Yes. So we'll have to see afterwards if you felt like that was worth it, because there's all differing opinions on that. But hopefully it will be, but we'll find out later. And going into this trip, you said you haven't been in 15 years. This is your first adult planning trip. What are your thoughts right now about going again? What do you think your thoughts are going to be when you get back?
Well, my father-in-law already wants to do a huge 12 in our family Disney trip in 2018. But my husband is like, let's see how this trip goes. So I think we'll be back in 2 years, but it depends how this trip goes.
Okay. Then I can't wait to talk to you when you get back to see how it went and to see how you all felt about it and if you plan on going again.
Yes.
So I appreciate you talking to me right before you leave for your trip, and I hope you have a great time, and I can't wait to talk to you when you get back.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Welcome back from your trip, Rebecca.
Thank you.
All right. So you are freshly back, I believe, 3 days ago. We are recording this on a Monday, and you came back Friday, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So I have some notes about what you said beforehand, just to make sure that you don't have to repeat yourself. So let's start from the beginning, which is you went October 21st to the 28th. How did you find that timing to be as far as weather and crowds and all that kind of stuff?
We had great weather. It wasn't too hot. It got a little chilly at nighttime, which I just wasn't used to. You know, you had to wear a sweatshirt at nighttime, but it drizzled one day. There was never any rain. And as far as weather goes, we had a great time. And crowds, it's hard for me to say if it was, you know, more crowded than it should have been, but the crowds didn't seem too heavy.
Good. You know, it's totally, it's subjective, especially for people that have never been before, because sometimes people will come back from the exact same week and say, oh, it was so busy. And somebody else will say it wasn't crowded at all. So it's very subjective. But I'm glad that you didn't feel like it was very crowded and that the weather worked out for you. Cause this time of year, it can be really, really hot still. I was there the first 10 days of November last year and it was 90 something every day. But I've been, you know, that time of year when it was, you had to wear a jacket in the evening. So it really can vary. I'm glad it wasn't too hot for you though.
Yeah, it worked out perfect.
Okay. So the next thing is, you were staying at Art of Animation in a car suite. So how did you like that?
We loved Art of Animation. We thought that, you know, it had the nice kid vibe for my son. He loved looking at all the different cars, and there were a couple of playgrounds, and he loved the pool area, and we loved the fact that we were three adults with two bathrooms. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just perfect. You know, double people taking showers in the morning, and we didn't feel on top of each other.
Yeah. And I really think that I know originally you were considering a moderate resort, and moderate resorts aren't nearly as fun as Art of Animation is. So I think if you have little kids and you really want to do the theming that's perfect for them, I think Art of Animation is often a better choice, and you have more room. And like you said, you have two bathrooms. So it feels less stressful and more fun to me with small children. So
yeah, he loved it.
I'm glad you like that. And then other things, Art of Animation, did you eat there, and how were the buses for you?
Yeah, we ate there a couple of times, probably maybe three times or four times we ate there. And the food wasn't amazing, but it was a good value and we liked everything we had. So we were happy with the food options. There were a lot of options. Lots of variety, and we were never disappointed with something that we ordered. The buses, it's hard to say if they were better or worse than other resorts. Some days we walked right on. Some days there was a wait. So the buses were kind of hit or miss for us.
I think, though, that, I mean, one of the biggest perks about Art of Animation is that the buses don't make other stops. So, like, for instance, if you were at any other moderate, except for French Quarter, if you're at a moderate, they have multiple bus stops that they have to make. And so you at least have that. So even if there is a bit of a wait, you know that once you're on, you're going to a park.
Yeah.
As opposed to you're going to another resort or another stop within your resort. And so that's a huge perk. But yeah, sometimes I guess there is a wait and you never really know how long it's going to take depending on where the buses are.
Right.
Okay. So overall, it sounds like you liked Art of Animation. And I know that your plan was to do 3 days at Magic Kingdom and then one day at each of the other parks. Is that how it worked out for you?
Yes. That is what we ended up doing.
Okay. So you stuck to your plan. And you also had a plan to do daytimes with all four of you, which you, your husband, mom, and son, and then evenings for you and your husband. How did that go?
Yeah, so we actually lucked out that my son was able during the day. He slept in the stroller from anywhere from 2 to 3 hours. So at nighttime, there were some days that he stayed back at the hotel, but then there were days where we would bring him with us to go places because we knew that once he got tired, he would just sleep in his stroller.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't stick with not bringing him back every night. There were some nights we brought him back.
Okay, so it worked out a little bit better with him in terms of his ability to take a nap. I know a lot of people have questions about strollers. So did you bring your own? Did you rent it? Did you use Disney's? What did you do for strollers?
Yeah, so we brought our own. We brought a bigger stroller that you could actually lay down in the stroller. So once he would fall asleep, we would lay him down. And we decided against renting one because we didn't want to be caught up with that process of going there. And we also wanted a stroller in the airport. So we decided to bring our own.
Yeah, and I think that really varies by age, too, because I think you said your son is just about to turn 2, right?
Yeah.
So he's still very, very young. But for instance, if you have a 4 or 5 year old who isn't used to being in a stroller, but also can't walk 10 to 15 miles a day, then it might make more sense to rent one in the park just so you have it for the, you know, longer distances. But yeah, with a child your son's age, you know, having a stroller handy at all times is probably more convenient. And did you find it tedious to fly with it, to get it on Magical Express, to take it on the buses at Disney World?
It was a bit tedious with the buses and having to fold it up. As far as the airport goes, like flying with it, you bring it right to the end of the gate and bring it back. So that wasn't a problem.
Mm-hmm.
With the buses at night, one of the things, you know, he would be dead asleep and we would have to take him out, fold up the stroller. So it made it very difficult for one person to go back with him because you couldn't just keep him in the stroller while he was sleeping. You had to hold him sleeping and fold up your stroller.
Yeah. The logistics of that does seem difficult. And I know some people will purposely choose a monorail resort for that reason because you can roll it right on the monorail and not have to collapse it. But if you're on the buses, that is an unfortunate reality.
Yeah.
So, okay. But did you do, it sounds like you did some evenings with just your husband and you while your mom stayed with your son, correct?
Correct.
What'd you do on those evenings?
So, the nights that it was just my husband and I, what we did was we used some of our, rider switch passes that we had accumulated throughout the day. And so we just walked on some of the bigger rides, and then we would go back to parks. Like, for instance, one night we went to Animal Kingdom and we went and saw Lion King because during the day when we were at Animal Kingdom, if you didn't have a fast pass for Lion King and you weren't in line for at least 20 minutes, you weren't getting into the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we went back and we saw Lion King and we did a more Expedition Everest and the Rapids ride, and then we went pretty much every night. We ended up back at Epcot for Food and Wine because we just loved it. So
it, yeah, was awesome. Yeah, so I know that was a big part of your planning and why you went this time of year, and so I did want to know what you thought of it. I'm glad it sounds like you liked it.
Yeah, well, we did ahead of time, which I would highly recommend for anyone going during Food and Wine. What I had, did for my husband and my mom is I printed out the different booths and what they were going to be serving. And I gave it to them and I said, mark off, you know, things that you want to try and things that you have to try. And then I combined a list of the different booths and things that we all want to try, things that we had to try. So it made it very easy for us when we were at Food and Wine because there are lines at each of the booths, but they go by really fast, but mm-hmm. there are crowds. And a lot of time people, you know, will go up to a booth and we'll look at the menu and we'll say, well, do you want this? Do you not want this? But we would, for instance, go by Canada and we're like, okay, we have to stop here. We want the cheddar cheese soup and the filet. And we knew what we were having at the different booths.
Mm-hmm.
And we also knew, we knew what to prioritize because we knew what all of the options were ahead of time.
Yeah, so that made it easier to know, like, because there's a ton of choices. So
there's so many choices.
And it's really like anything at Disney World. There's a lot of rides, there's a lot of restaurants, there's a lot of everything. So if you've done your research ahead of time, it helps you be a lot more efficient. And I don't know which list you use, but Disney Food Blog does have one in their food and wine guide. So when you buy their food and wine like ebook, it has a checklist that you can print out of all the booths. So yes, that is helpful. I actually took that list on my last trip as well, because I was there during food and wine and wanted to try some new things that I had never had before. So that's a really good tip for people going during food and wine. So let's talk about some other food options that you mentioned last time, starting with Garden Grill. You had an 8 a.m. reservation. How did that turn out?
We loved Garden Grill. The day before we went to Garden Grill, we went to the Tusker House, mm-hmm. and we didn't love the Tusker House. We showed up about 10 minutes before our reservation, and then we had to wait a half an hour before they sat us. Mm-hmm. So 40 minutes waiting with a toddler was, you know, the start to a bad time. Mm-hmm. And then the service was really slow. It felt very packed for us. I don't know if it was the time that we went at. Our reservation was at 10:40, mm-hmm. And we just didn't enjoy it. And then when we went to Garden Grill, it was like night and day. It was so relaxed. The characters, you know, the food came to you. We were in and out, so all of the characters within 30 to 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It was just perfect.
You know, I have eaten all the character meals at Disney World, and Garden Grill is the only one that is like that, where they bring the food to you and you get so much character interaction and you can actually be finished very quickly. To me, your Tusker House experience is much more normal, unfortunately, because there's the long delay getting in, and then it can be kind of hectic once you're in and you do have to go get your own food, which may or may not appeal to you when you have a little one that you also have to keep track of. So that doesn't surprise me a whole lot, and I'm really happy that you like Garden Grill. So you had a really early reservation. So did you get off of there by chance and go on Soarin', because you're in the same building as Soarin'?
Yes. So we were able to – our reservation was at 8:10, but we ended up getting there, you know, like at 8:05 or whatever, and you know, we pretty much sat right away, and we were in and out by – 8:45, mm-hmm. and we went right over to Soarin', and we my mother and I went on first, and we got a rider switch pass, and then there was still no line, so my husband and my mother went on again, and they asked for a rider switch, and they got another one, so then we ended up with two fast passes for Soarin', you know, two of the rider switch passes, because we went on twice with no line.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
So, and to me, that's part of the magic. Like, not only do I think Garden Grill is great, but the ability to do that and get a ride out of the way before doing anything else is fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. And that was my favorite ride.
Soarin' was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
And you got to do it multiple times with all this rider switch pass stuff, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you already mentioned Tusker House not being your favorite, and then Be Our Guest was another one that you had. You had a 10:30 reservation there. How did you like that?
We really liked Be Our Guest. I was a little bit nervous about a 10:30 reservation, because I'm like, who eats lunch at 10:30? You know, but we had to be up so early. We were there for the opening show, and Magic Kingdom opened that day at 8 a.m. So after doing a bunch of rides and everything for 2.5 hours, we were ready for a break. Mm-hmm. So it ended up working out perfect for us, and it wasn't very crowded. And by the time we ordered and our food came, it was probably around like 11 o'clock anyway. And we enjoyed the food. It wasn't the best thing we've ever had, but it was good, and the atmosphere was just beautiful. So we were happy that we had that reservation.
Good. I'm glad you liked it. And I do think there's something weird, at least for me, that happens at Disney World, where I eat a lot earlier than normal. Like a burrito sounds great at 10:30 in the morning for some reason. And I think it's because you wear yourself out, so you're ready for a break by that point. So that makes sense. Then you had a couple of dinner reservations, Le Cellier and Teppanito. Did you make it to those?
So Teppanito, we ended up canceling because what we did was your tip of modifying it to a different, because we canceled day of, so we modified it to a different day, and then I canceled it later on.
Mm-hmm.
Because we enjoyed Food and Wine so much. We were like, we can't be at Epcot and not have Food and Wine. So we ended up canceling that reservation. And my son really liked Food and Wine as well. So we ended up canceling that one. But La Cellier, we really enjoyed. It was a really nice dinner and it was relaxing and it was just my husband and I, and we had a great time.
Good. You mentioned stopping by the Canada booth and getting the cheese soup and filet, but you can also order that inside La Cellier. Did you do that or did you get something else?
We didn't get the soup because it was at Food and Wine, but we did get the filets because it's filet.
Yeah. Because it's delicious. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what about the pretzel bread? Did you have some of the pretzel bread?
Yes. So good.
So good. And they'll actually give you some to go if you ask for it. It's so delicious that it's worth requesting, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've talked a little bit about park touring, but let's get into that a little bit more. So your plan beforehand was the first 2 hours were kind of planned and then you were going to stay flexible. Is that kind of what you stuck to throughout the week?
Yes. We pretty much, the only problem that we ended up having was we had a lot of rides broken down. Like almost every day there was a ride that we went to and it was broken down. So we ended up having to modify it a bit, but we ended up having, sticking with the plan of going on the different rides at the different hours and using our fast passes the way I had planned them out. And then night times were kind of up in the air.
And that worked out well for you.
Yes.
And, so rides being broken down wouldn't surprise me at Magic Kingdom. That happens a lot. But did you encounter that at all the parks?
Yeah. So, for instance, on our second day, we went to Animal Kingdom, which opened up at 8 a.m. It was an extra magic hour. And so the first thing we did was we hustled it to Expedition Everest, and it was broken down first thing in the morning.
Mm.
And so I was thinking, do we wait in line? Do we come back? Because we had a fast pass for later, but we're coaster people, so we really wanted to ride it more than once. So I'm like, you know, what should we do? So we ended up staying in line, and we waited about 20 minutes, which was like 20 minutes of prime time, you know, first thing in the morning. So we didn't know what to do. And then on our 2 days at Magic Kingdom, the first day that we ended up going, we had a fast pass for Seven Dwarfs from 9 to 10. However, I knew that when I was first in the park, I didn't want to use my fast pass right away. I wanted to go on some of the smaller rides before they had lines, like meeting Ariel and, you know, Pooh and stuff like that. And so we went at 10 o'clock to our Seven Dwarfs Fast Pass, and it was still broken down. It had been broken down all morning.
Mm.
And it ended up not opening up until like 11 that day. So people had been standing in line for over 2 hours waiting to get on that ride. And when we got there so when we were ready to leave the park around 12, the fast pass line was so backed up that they told us that the wait in the fast pass lane would be about 45 minutes, but that our fast pass would still be good for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have any plans to go back to Magic Kingdom that night. So I talked to the fast pass woman that was there, and I explained to her that we had a toddler and that, you know, we couldn't wait in a 45-minute line when we had booked that fast pass so long ago. So she ended up giving us like a handwritten fast pass to come back to, which was really sweet of her. So we used it the next day we were at Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day at Magic Kingdom, the first thing we wanted to do was go on Peter Pan, and it was broken down first thing in the morning.
Yeah. It's just, Magic Kingdom is just plagued with that, which is super frustrating if you've got a plan and you don't, you know, and you're trying to stick to it and it's, you know, you don't know exactly how to adjust yourself. But
and then when we were at Hollywood Studios, we had the one day at Hollywood Studios, and Tower of Terror, we had a fast pass for, but it was down to one track.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up waiting like a half an hour in the fast pass lane. And then Rock and Roller Coaster was broken down different times throughout the day. But we ended up doing it last, and we didn't really feel the pain of the line. But we had actually walked over it to a couple of times to feel it out when we could go on it.
Mm-hmm.
So is that unusual for there to be? I'm like, what is this? We just had bad luck. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's unusual outside of Magic Kingdom. I mean, I definitely have run into closures, but not as many as what you've just described. So it's just unfortunate and maybe just a bit of bad luck with the ride closures. But sounds like you were still able to have fun in spite of that, which is good, but too bad.
I had done so much research and looking at your site and everything that even though we would go to a line and be broken down, I would, you know, have a backup plan or know how we could get on that without waiting. So it was just kind of more we were laughing at, you know, the fact that it was that things were broken down more than it affected our trip.
Yeah, it is. It's a little strange, but I'm glad you were able to stay flexible and adjust accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
You did mention that you had a couple of other things planned, such as visiting family and Disney Springs. Did you end up doing that?
Yes. So the first or the second night there, my husband stayed back with Logan, and my mother and I went down to Disney Springs, and we met up with my aunt and cousin, and they really want to go to the boathouse. And we didn't have a reservation, so the wait was 2 hours, which seems crazy, but we shopped and had drinks, and the 2 hours flew by, and then we had a beautiful dinner at the boathouse, so it worked out perfectly, and it was a nice, relaxing vacation night.
Good. The boathouse is fantastic. There's so many good eating choices in Disney Springs, but boathouse is definitely one of the best that I've ever had.
I was amazed at how big Disney Springs is. I mean, everyone talks about it, but until you actually go there and see it, I was just blown away at how big it was.
It is. And confusing to navigate in parts. It used to be a lot. It used to make more sense, but now it's kind of windy and to me hard to figure out, but lots of places to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. What else? Oh, you did attend the Halloween party on your last full day.
Yes.
What'd you think?
So what we decided to do was the 2 nights up until the Halloween party, we had in mind, like, is there anything else that we want to attend or go, you know, any rides we want to go to before the Halloween party? Because my goal for the Halloween party wasn't to ride rides we hadn't ridden. It was more of to see the extra things that the party has to offer. So the 2 days before, we prepared and we went on everything we wanted to, and we had no problem. We didn't really have much more that we wanted to go on because of planning, you know, during the day. So that day of the Halloween party, we just relaxed and we went to Disney Springs, all four of us. And then we came back, we hung out by the pool for a few hours, got in our costumes and went to the Halloween party. And what I had done was, and I had actually talked to Heather about this, was I originally had booked getting like 8 days of tickets or something like that. Yeah, 8 days of tickets. And so on my Halloween party day, I was able to make fast passes from 4 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then I modified and changed my park tickets so that I wouldn't have a park ticket that day, but my fast passes never went away.
Mm-hmm.
So we showed up to the Halloween party and we used our 3 fast passes. And then we right away, one of the things I wanted to do was I wanted to meet the 7 dwarfs. And I knew that that was like something that everyone wants to do. So after we went on a few rides, we went at around 5:20. We went and stood in line and we ended up eating and just conversating with people. And the dwarfs came out at 6:20 when they're not supposed to, it says they're not going to be out until 7.
Mm-hmm.
So at 6:20 they came out, and we probably waited in line a total of an hour and a half, which seems long, but it kind of went by fast, and we got our pictures with the seven dwarfs, and they were hilarious. All of them were just playing the character so well. We absolutely loved it. And then we went and saw the parade, which was amazing, and we just had a great time. We all enjoyed the Halloween party.
And so based on what you just said, you were actually done meeting the Seven Dwarfs before the party even started.
Pretty much, yeah. A little bit, yeah. We saw them probably right around 7,
yeah.
Or a little bit before 7, so which is, and that's why there wasn't that much of a line, because no one was thinking, I'm going to get in line for the Seven Dwarfs at, 5:20. So there wasn't that many people ahead of us. And I talked to a cast member that was standing there, and I said to her, do we all need to stand in line or just one for our party? Because we have a toddler. And she's like, nope, only one person in your party has to stand in line. So we kind of took turns standing in line and entertaining a toddler. And everyone around us had kids, so they didn't really seem to bother that we weren't all standing in line. And so it wasn't too bad. And then after the parade, after the Seven Dwarfs, besides the Mine Train, Peter Pan, and Pirates, everything else was less than a half an hour wait.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just walked, we did all of Logan's rides that he really liked again and just walked on because he, Dumbo and Pooh and, Ariel, he loved all of those rides and they were all practically walk on.
What I love about your plan, and I've never really thought about before, is that you did the Halloween party at the end. So by then you already knew what you liked at Magic Kingdom, and then you could take advantage, of the walk-on rides and repeat those, based on what you learned earlier in your trip. Because sometimes people start with that and they say, what should I do when I'm there? And it really depends on what you're into, and you might not know yet. So
yeah, and especially when you have children too, where you don't know what they're going to like, what they're not going to like, So we already knew what he liked. And so, and there wasn't anything, say there was a longer line for something, because we heard mixed reviews whether or not there were going to be shorter lines or not, and so we wouldn't have been disappointed with not going on a ride because we'd already been on every ride.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm glad that worked out for you, and that was super smart to line up for the Seven Dwarfs. The lines do start earlier for some of those popular characters, like Seven Dwarfs and Jack and Sally, for a few of them, but most of them, it's just during the party itself. So that was good planning on your part. And then did you make it to midnight, or what time did you leave?
No, we left after the fireworks. So we took your recommendation. So we stood in almost the front of Main Street, or towards the castle, so I guess that's the end of Main Street, to watch the castle show. And then when the castle show ended, is it called the castle show? I don't know if that's right.
Yeah, the projection show. That's what you're talking about.
The projection show, yeah. There's a 5-minute difference. So then we used that 5 minutes and walked to the back, where the entrance is, and we watched the fireworks from there. So then once they ended, we just left. And I was talking to a cast member, and he's like, are you sure you don't want to stay? Everything's going to be a walk-on if you stay. And we had an early flight the next day, so there wasn't any other rides we really wanted to go on again. So we made it till, I think that was 10:30 or 10:45.
Okay, but it sounds like you got everything done that you wanted to, so that's
absolutely,
that's what matters, and you had to get ready to leave the next morning. How did Memory Maker work out for you?
We loved Memory Maker. I know that you've had people on that have had kind of mixed reviews on it, mm-hmm. but for us, we were just kind of enjoying the moment and not trying to get the perfect picture or make sure, the castle was in the background perfectly. We just would find someone and ask them to take a photo. And we really, besides the the breakfasts with the characters where there isn't someone to take photos, we really just kind of relied on the professionals to take our photos mm-hmm. because, you know, and it was just one less thing to worry about.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. There's mixed reviews. It kind of depends on how actively you seek out the photographers and, you know, how many things you do that make it worth it for you. But, like, did you end up with lots of pictures of you and the Seven Dwarfs?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, and that alone is nice because they take pictures the whole time. Like, as you're walking up, as you're talking to them, and, you know, that's not something that most people with their own individual cameras would think to do.
Or, and you can't do that and enjoy the moment as much.
Yeah.
You know, because you're behind your phone. And I even, during the fireworks, I would go up to a photographer and ask them to take photos of me with the castle and the fireworks in the background. And I have amazing photos of that because they, you know, they're there during the fireworks show as well.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy those pictures as well. And they have all the a ton of photos of, like, Logan laughing at the characters and interacting with him. And so I think it was worth it.
So
I mean, it is.
You got to focus on your son while the photographer took pictures.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. And I know before you left, you said your father-in-law was hoping you'd have a big trip in 2018 with the whole family. Your husband was a little cautious about, hey, let's see how this goes. So as of right now, what are you thinking for future trips and how did your husband end up liking it?
So my husband loved it and he wants to go back. And he was amazed at how, you know, how well the planning was done and how there were people waiting in lines for so long and how, you know, how he said that he just remembered Disney being kind of a ton of lines and he walked away feeling like we did so much and Logan had such a good time. And so the Bushy 2018, I think there's 12 of us trip is still on.
Good. So, that's such good news. It's one of my greatest, like, joys in life is hearing people that didn't think they were going to go, but now they're like, yeah, I have to go back because it went well. So that's, like, the best outcome, I think.
Yeah. So that will be now that I've gone once with the planning, I think going with such a large group with the planning will be another task in itself, but
yeah,
I've done the groundwork.
Yeah, it will be challenging, but most of the work you've already done because it's so much to learn before your first trip. And now you just kind of have to adjust based on the new demographics of your travel group. So I think you'll be great at it. Before you wrap up, is there anything that we did not talk about from your trip that you wanted to mention?
I don't think so. Magical Express.
Okay.
We had a bad experience, with it. We waited an hour and a half before, when we got off the plane, we waited an hour and a half before a bus took us to the resort. So I don't know if that's normal or not, but we were thinking, oh yeah, we have Magical Express. And, for us, that seemed a little bit long.
I would agree that's long. I have had that happen. I've been taking Magical Express for 10 or 11 years, and sometimes it is an hour and a half. And I usually advise people to allow 3 hours because if you're waiting an hour and a half for it to leave, then it's another 30 or 40 minutes just to get to Disney World, and then you may not be the first stop. So you have to allow plenty of time for that to happen, which with a little one like you have, it makes it seem even longer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's one reason that I started partnering with the transportation service is just because if your goal is to get there as soon as possible and not worry about the wait, then that's a better way to go. But it does cost more money. So,
yeah,
that is it's a trade off. But
I think next time we probably would do that. We would use a transportation company just because you're all excited and you're finally off the plane. And for me, I'd rather just if you can afford it and want to spend a little extra, it might just start off your trip a little bit more smoothly.
Yeah, it's less stressful. And you have somebody to help you with your bags. If you're carrying your own bags, then somebody's there to help you with that. In your case, did you let them transport your bags for you?
We did, and I wish we didn't because we got back to the resort about 3 hours after about 3.5 hours after our flight had landed, we were in the resort and wanted to go to a park, and our bags still weren't there. And they said that it could take upwards of 5 hours. And mm-hmm. so we're like, should we wait? Should we not wait? And we had packed clothes so that we could go to the park because we knew that was a possibility, but we forgot things like a toothbrush and like things like that, that we had in our bags that we were waiting on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with a little one, I imagine that's even more stressful because you have supplies, you know, there's only so many diapers you can carry and, you know,
right.
snacks and things like that. So yeah, I think having a car service is definitely a luxury that if you can afford it will decrease the stress levels.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's good to know. Well, I appreciate you sharing, and I'm so happy your trip worked out, and I hope your next one goes just as well.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. I hope you enjoyed that report. I'm so happy to hear that their trip went so well for them. After we stopped recording, she mentioned to me that their plans had gone so well and they collected all these rider switch passes that they were able to gift those to other people that were in line who didn't have the benefit of the fast passes, which is a really nice thing. It's a testament to how well her planning was that she, you know, was done, that she didn't even feel the need to use the rider switch passes. And it's also just a really nice thing to try to go find somebody in line who could benefit. I miss the days of paper fast passes when you could do that. You could just walk up to somebody in line and, you know, make your own little bit of magic by giving them a fast pass. But you can still do that with Rider Switch because they are essentially a paper fast pass. So that was really good. And I'm happy to hear that her trip went so well. Before we wrap it up today, I do have a quick tip of the day. And that is with regard to canceling your reservations. And this comes up fairly often. People ask us, you know, they'll say, I have reservation A, like a hotel reservation, Disney World. If I cancel that, will I lose all my dining and fast passes and all that? Because I'd rather do reservation B. So that could be anything. That could be changing on-site resorts, and for some reason you need to cancel the first one in order to the second one. It could be that you're booking points to stay at DVC. It could be that you just decided to stay off-site. It's whatever it is. People ask this all the time. So my quick tip is that you can cancel any on-site reservation without losing anything as that's tied to your reservation, except for if you book a package to stay on site and you've already made FastPass reservations, you will lose the FastPass reservations if you cancel your package because your tickets are tied to your package and your FastPasses need tickets in order to stay booked. So the only time that your reservations will be affected is in that case. But if you haven't made FastPass reservations yet, or you have everything booked a la carte, you'll be fine if you do it that way. So my quick tip is to not worry about canceling except for in that one instance. So I hope that was helpful today. I think that will wrap up this episode. For more information on this show, you can check the podcast app that you use to listen or go to the website. Look for podcasts at the top and look for episode 137. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.